Hey, what up, everybody? This is your host, Ryan Sketch, here. Sketchbook Audio. Also my room. I don't have a studio. So, if ever you were wondering what goes on at Studio Sketchbook Audio, it's life. It's my life. It's my room. A very small budget. Anyways, this song by Post Malone, it's pretty killer. It's called Circles, and it's kind of going through my head like a circle, like just a record that won't stop. But it's a good song, and I know this podcast is mostly about art, and mostly the tangible art. But this guy's an artist, and even though I don't necessarily agree and love the whole voice-changing thing that he uses on a regular basis, I appreciate his ability to produce pretty good music. So, anyways, we've got some good things coming up on Sketchbook Audio, so stay tuned. I'm going to go ahead and just stay tuned. Okay, so we're back to Sketchbook Audio. Thanks for tuning in. I have a couple people who are watching here. So there's not a lot going on in the automotive industry right now, which is a good thing because it's kind of the calm before the storm. So I kind of wanted to take a step back and look at some things that have happened in the recent days and kind of understand what's coming our way. And one of those things is the Tesla Cybertruck. Interestingly enough, if you're watching and you've already gone to automotive school or you're in some sort of product design course or you go to any art school period, you're more than likely to have been told that that design, shit, it's not good design. In reality, what good design really boils down to is does it appeal to people? And if it does, even if it's just a couple people, then technically it's good design. Another part of good design, though, is it functional? Does it serve a purpose? Is it worth the money that you're spending, not only to build it, but to purchase the vehicle? And in today's day and age, does it do more good for the environment than it does harm? And I was thinking about that, and there's a couple companies that are really looking into this, and one of those is Fisker, Henrik Fisker, yes, the same guy who had Fisker Karma. He now has a new vehicle that he designed called the Fisker Ocean. I took a trip along the same beaches that he has been going to do his little tour for the Fisker Ocean. And I got to really see what he's talking about, what really is driving the purpose of this vehicle. And to call it good design is an understatement. It's a genius design. And while it's, of course, a crossover, an SUV, and we have enough of those in the world, the truth of the matter is he's utilizing what he knows the industry, us, the consumer, is demanding, which is crossovers and SUVs, but he's taking it a step further by really considering what effect is building this car going to have on the world. Can it be a positive one, or is it just going to be a negative one by pumping, you know, carbon dioxide or other bad pollutants into the air? And first of all, yes, it's an electric car. Pure electric, but there is a carbon footprint still to creating said vehicle. So he's doing his best to offset that carbon footprint by giving us a vehicle that's made of completely vegan interior. No animals were harmed in the making of this vehicle. And he's doing his part to clean up the oceans, the beaches, particularly on the West Coast here in California. But I took this tour, this little walk. Well, it was actually a bike ride up the West Coast, and I got a good 20 miles in, and it's just, it's really heartbreaking to see that it's only one guy really utilizing what's laying out on the beach to better mankind, to better design, to make good design. Now, I know there's other companies like Adidas and Nikes who are taking some of that plastic and turning it into shoe material. There's some companies that are going out there and taking that plastic, melting it down, creating a yarn or a thread of some sort, and turning it into clothes. In fact, I actually have a couple shirts that are made from recycled material. But there needs to be more. And I think that's one of the first steps that we really need to take as product designers and as automotive designers when we're thinking about our next product, our next vehicle. So I highly encourage you to don't just put something on paper because it looks beautiful. Put something on paper that's actually going to serve a purpose to not just the consumer, but to mankind. And I'm not trying to preach. Well, yeah, okay, yes, I am. I am trying to preach better behavior because, let's face it, and I don't want to go too much into politics, but we do have a politician running our country right now who's not a politician. He just happens to be the president, who doesn't believe in climate change. So it makes me wonder, does he also not see the harm that's happening along our coasts or the harm that oil companies create when they screw up and they, you know, shoot oil all through the ocean? Look at Australia. The biggest coral reef in the world, the most beautiful coral reef in the world, is labeled as dead now. And to rebuild that is going to be really hard. So part of what good design, as I mentioned before, is not only the aesthetic, but it's also the functionality, the practicality, the purpose. And we really need to consider, is it going to better us as human beings? And while a car really only serves the purpose of getting us from A to B and maybe carrying some stuff, I think we should really think about, can it do more? I had a friend of mine. She's one of my students. She now goes to Lawrence Tech. She came up with this vehicle design. It's a real simple design. It's not supposed to be, you know, like a hot sports car or anything. But what it is thinking exactly as I'm speaking, which is thinking about how to better mankind or better our earth through vehicles and through design. So what she did was she created a vehicle that basically sucks in the harmful pollutants and then spits out good stuff. So it's very interesting to see how that could work in the future, how we could have vehicles that try to reverse that and turn harmful pollutants into something good. There's people who have turned fecal matter into a burnable fuel. That's pretty cool. And manure can be used in biodiesels, can be used in a lot of different things. So that's the next step. That's the next, evolutionary level in automotive design and product design. And I was thinking about this design myself as I was traveling from Michigan to California. I saw tons of windmills. And I thought, what is the big downside to a windmill or a wind farm? And really it is the fact that they could possibly harm birds. They become, and they're a bit of an eyesore, right? So what they're doing is they're positioned against the wind so that they can, you know, spin faster, generate more kinetic energy, which then gets turned into electricity for homes all over. Now, I don't know what a big wind farm, how big it needs to be to cover a city, but it looks like you need a lot of these turbines to really harness electricity that's consistent. So I'm looking at all these windmills, and I'm thinking, what else can we use that's similar? And I was thinking, well, Dyson has these fans that are fanless. And it got me thinking, there is a fan at the base of this fanless thing, but what if we used a giant version of that? Had it up in the air and had it up even higher maybe than solar, than windmills, turbines. And it could attract pollutants. Just saying, the technology is there. We have it. But how do we make it bigger, and how do we make it actually work for the whole world? Also, how do you do it affordably? I don't know. But I know we could do this, and I know that needs to be the next step, is to get all of those pollutants out of the air, not just stop putting more into the air, but how do we reverse that? And I think we're getting close, but we need more people. We need more geniuses. We need more people with ideas, creative people who can think outside the box, the proverbial box, and create something that's not only beautiful, but also helpful. Back to my original point about the Tesla Cybertruck. It is ugly as fuck. Disclaimer to anybody listening to this who's never listened to this show before. Sometimes I swear, and it's usually because I get pretty passionate about something. Let me just tell you, the Tesla Cybertruck is ugly as sin. And it's not necessarily good design. However, they're doing this thing the same way Jackson Pollock did, pulling a fast one over the majority of people, where nobody liked his work for the longest time. And he got so depressed. He got so angry. He just got bitter and hated the world. I think he was on suicide watch, basically. And nothing was going well for him. And this one guy sees what was essentially an accident, just a tantrum with paint, and fell in love with it. And then got it sold for him for thousands and thousands of dollars, and said, dude, you can make a living doing this, man. You can really be somebody. Now, he didn't really become too rich until posthumously, but somehow it worked, right? He got somebody, a hype man, so to speak, to really get people interested in this new wave, this new aged aesthetic of thinking not just about like a figure, a form, but emotion. What does emotion look like on paper? And he sold it to people. People bought it. Elon Musk is doing the exact same thing. Generally speaking, that design is not anything that would fly in a typical art school. So you can see where it's a little bit counterintuitive or counterproductive, really, to all of us who have learned traditionally that that's bad design, don't go that route, to now it's acceptable? And is it just because there's this new movement of cyberpunk, which is not all that new, let's face it. The whole cyberpunk mindset and the steampunk mindset has been around for decades. It's just, it's really taking on steam, as they say. And it's become a bit of a fad. Will it die? Probably not, because I think that's what our future could look like. We'll have the spinner vehicles. We'll have the blasters. We'll have weird, crazy phones. And we'll have some nostalgia about what we have now, because it's going to look almost the same in the future, especially if we keep going the route we're going, destroying this planet. We're going to end up with a really ugly world. Cyberpunk mentality looks beautiful right now on paper. And Sid Mead, God rest his soul, did a phenomenal job of making us want that, or making us excited to see what the future holds. Because if it's anything like that, there's a little bit of beauty and there's a little bit of pain. Unfortunately, that's not really how the reality is going to be. We're going to be living in something a little bit closer to Judge Dredd, closer to some of the darker Sid Mead stuff, and Blade Runner. Again, I don't want to get into too much preaching, but here's another example. I went to the Peterson's Museum, Automotive Museum here, when I first actually moved to California. And it was the third time I had been there. But every time they keep showing off new vehicles, and I don't mean new as in like they're new, they were just created today, but I mean new as in they changed their gallery quite a bit. Well, they had this one section from this one artist, and he's more of a product design guy. He's not necessarily a traditional automotive designer. He creates products, but he tried to look at some of the most iconic vehicles out right now and reduce them to their most basic geometric forms. Think speed form. And you kind of get to where this guy was at, except he was very geometric about it. Speed forms tend to be very swoopy and beautiful and fat. In fact, let me show you one. So here I've got a couple forms. This, as we all know, is a Dodge Challenger Demon. I got the big air grabber hood scoop, wide body, but you know it's a car. It's not just because it has doors. It does have cut lines though, so that's important. Speed forms tend not to have those things. So this guy was taking things like Lamborghinis and turning them into essentially this. Now, what does this make you think of right off the bat? Kind of makes you think of the future, even though this is actually a form from a 1969-71 car. This isn't new, but Dodge used this for their 100th anniversary not too long ago, and they were handing these out, and I was lucky enough to get one. But this could be what the future is just taking vehicles, getting rid of the wheels or tucking them under, kind of like Fifth Element or the DeLorean, the fabled DeLorean, or giving us something else entirely. You know, wheels, tires, all that, it's weight, and it creates friction and drag, and they're not very aerodynamic when you think of things. But when you break it down to something like this, if you could get this to just levitate or float or something, have some kind of burners on the bottom and on the top to lift this thing up, then you don't have friction anymore. So these things would be more efficient. But anyways, this is kind of the future that, you know, Sid Mead saw and some other designers. But taking a look at the Cybertruck, and it's like, it's not beautiful. Again, subjective. It's not beautiful to most. You know, nobody's going to look at that and think Sistine Chapel beautiful. They're going to think it's beautiful in a totally different respect. And that's fine. But I know we were all hoping for so much more when it comes to the Tesla truck. In fact, I'll post some pictures of what people were really hoping for. And then we got this. And to me, it was kind of like a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face to the designers and the people who have spent a lot of money going to school to learn not to do that. And then all of a sudden it becomes acceptable. That happens with a lot of things, but the fact of the matter is Tesla truck is coming and it's probably going to look exactly like the Cybertruck. So deal with it, I guess, right? Next thing I want to talk about is Jeep has a secret vehicle coming out that they are going to be showing at, I believe, the Chicago Auto Show, which is next week, actually, or the week after. My apologies. It's the week after. It starts the 6th of February. Basically, it is what I imagine, a four-door, so it's a Wrangler Unlimited, clad in all things Mopar. In fact, you can clearly see the big giant Mopar Jeep performance badge that's on the back near the back end of the fender. It also has tubular doors. Man, do you know how giddy I am? Because here's the thing. Those aren't legal for an auto manufacturer to sell. They provide almost zero safety other than the fact that they're on there pretty good. The latch is very durable. In fact, I got to mess with one not too long ago at Jack Powell Chrysler Dodge Jeep. So if you're from California and you're interested in seeing what these kind of doors look like in person, go there because they have a couple vehicles with those Mopar doors. And it's pretty cool. They have a little red lever. Here, I'll show you. They have a little red lever. I think you can see it there. To release the door, but I think it says eject. That's cool. Any little red switch that says eject is a okay in my book. So I'm excited for this because you can see it's got the big BF Goodrich tires. They're massive. It's mud something. I don't know exactly what they are, but then it has the beadlock wheels that Mopar offers. It looks like just an all-out Mopar car. Now, what this could be is if you've paid attention to anything Mopar for the past almost 15 years, Mopar and FCA, well, Daimler, and then FCA, and then now, well, whatever it is right now, they have had this culture of creating a limited edition, limited run of vehicles with a Mopar flair. A lot of times it's just a vehicle, usually black with the Mopar blue stripe coming down the driver's side, sometimes on the steering wheel, sometimes on the seat. And they've had a Mopar Caliber, which they only sold in South Africa, oddly enough, a Mopar 300, Mopar, a couple Mopar Challengers, Chargers, Ram, you name it. They probably had a Dart. They had a Mopar Dart, which is based off of the Limited. They do a lot of cool stuff with it. They usually give you like the Mopar wheels, Mopar exhaust, cold air intake, this, that, and the other, but they've never done a Wrangler. So this could be that, especially since, and here's further evidence, the car is painted in Mopar blue. I know, right? Pretty cool. So I'm excited to see where that goes. We'll see that at the Chicago Auto Show in a couple weeks. And I'm going to hopefully be there or at least be covering it from some perspective. So stay tuned for that one. I got 9 more minutes here to tell you about some other stuff. Ooh, some other good news. The DeLorean, after many years of legal bullshit, is finally going to go into production. Yes. So I got a good friend who loves all things Back to the Future, and he loves DeLoreans. When he heard about this, he was just, yes, dream come true. I can finally get a DeLorean. Maybe. I don't know how expensive they are. They're probably going to be around $60,000. But the good news is it exists now, and it's in motion to be built. So that's cool. One other thing I wanted to talk about. Lego. Who any of my viewers, have you played with Legos before? Have you ever owned Legos? Do you have kids that you buy Legos for now? Did you pass down any of your Legos? Sorry, I'm eating. Speaking of being a kid again, Frosted Mini Wheats. And yes, I opened up the box upside down. I have a really bad habit of doing it. It's not the first time. So Lego's coming out with a International Space Station kit. And I'm curious because if you know anything about Legos, sometimes big, long, flat objects with Legos don't hold up so well. And the center tends to collapse. But this looks pretty stable. So I'm intrigued to see, you know, it doesn't look big enough to really put characters inside the little Lego people, but it does look big enough for you to really understand what the Lego, what the International Space Station looks like and kind of where it's going to go, what it's supposed to do, and yada yada. It looks like it's got 864 pieces. Not a lot. But it's part of their Lego ideas. So it's something that's actually real. It's not quite Lego Technic, but it is pretty cool. So the other cool Lego that I want to talk about is the Land Rover Defender. I was surprised this Christmas by my mom, who purchased me the Lego Defender. I don't even remember telling her that I liked it, but I had gone to the Los Angeles Auto Show, and they had a Lego booth there. They had the Lego Bugatti Chiron there. Epic. The amount of pieces that went into that, not only does it actually function moving-wise, but everything works. The doors, the trunk, the hood, everything. The engine, the transmission, the seats, which are like Recaro or something. Everything works. It only goes like 2 miles per hour, but who cares? Lego did something that I don't think anybody else ever could or will. But then they brought that level of ingenuity down to something that's a little bit more affordable. And they gave us the Land Rover Defender, the new Land Rover Defender. And let me tell you, dude, that thing is spot on. It's a roof rack. There's little side pouches. The hood opens up. The lift gate opens. Actually, you know what? The hood does not open up. I stand corrected. But the transmission works. The differentials work, front and rear. It's just intense. And it has a winch. So great job, Legos. I highly recommend it, especially at only like $150, $175. It's well worth it. Oh, and there's a new Batmobile that just came out. It's actually the Michael Keaton Batmobile you can get in the Lego kit. And I think it's like $150, $125. Definitely worth getting. It's very realistic. And it actually splits apart, much like Christian Bale's bat thing tank that split apart and his little bat pod came out. Very similar, but super badass. And if you're a Lego fan, I highly recommend it. Like I said, there's not much going on in the world today, but I wanted to show you one thing. We didn't talk about this last time. I have a new hobby, and it's shoes. And it's not just because I like collecting shoes. It's not just because I have some sort of sick obsession with shoes, like, you know, some people do. My buddy has 25 plus pairs of Air Jordans, and he only wears maybe two of them. I have been buying shoes because of a few things. One, I'm trying to buy shoes from people who are actually being responsible and with how they build things or how they create things, how they design things. Hey Dude Shoes, I'll post a link for them on the Instagram page, sketchbook_audio, if you were wondering, which is what you're watching right now. But I'll post a link, and they have very smart shoes, and they are so comfortable. I'm not trying to pitch this as a salesperson. It's just, this is a really comfortable shoe, especially for the price, and a company you've probably never heard of. So, Hey Dude Shoes. They have so many different kinds. Most of them are slip-on. I bought these because I needed a shoe that I can slip on and off at the airport real quick without, you know, causing any kind of delay. If you know me, you know that I hate waiting in line at airports, and I hate watching people slow lines down at airports. So stop wearing shoes that have shoelaces, stop wearing belts, stop wearing jackets, and get yourself a pair of shoes like this where you just slip on and slip off. And they're lightweight, so if you wanted to walk around the airport barefoot or in socks, great, you can. You just shove these in your bag, whatever. Anyways, next step, I got these from my sister. Now, my sister is now an employee of Nike, and she saw these and just said, yep, these are Ryan. And I don't know why she thought that, frankly, because this is crazy. I didn't think I would love it until I actually got it. The one cool thing about this shoe is it has this, well, it's not going to work with me doing it, but this whole bubble is all air. And it feels like you're walking on moon shoes or walking on air. They're pretty badass, but I really love the fabric and the texture and everything. And it actually kind of looks like a basketball, but it's very shiny orange down here. And then it's a muted matte bronze. And it's got this weird black circle here. I don't know what that's all about, but I love the font. I love how it's kind of military, kind of high-tech, kind of futuristic. It's just a super comfortable shoe, and I typically don't like shoes like this, but I was really surprised. This is the MX 720-818. It's a Air Max. I was going to say Air Jordan, but it's an Air Max. It's pretty sweet. I think it has something to do with LeBron. I can't remember, but yeah. And the last thing I want to talk about. You know what? The other thing is with shoes, I tend to buy them because I really like the designs. I like the pattern. And this one, it's knitted. And it's really cool what they're doing with shoes these days. Adidas has a shoe coming out. I keep looking at the clock and we only have a few minutes, but Adidas is coming out with a shoe that was made from plastic found in the ocean. Pretty badass. I'm going to try and get myself a pair just because I really like the mindset and what it's doing. So if me buying that shoe helps Adidas go out and pick more plastic out of the ocean, freaking A, man, that's a win-win. Anyways, the last thing I'm going to show you guys is this. Just because it's freaking badass. It's a Camaro made to look like Iron Man. Need I say more? So anyways, thank you for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. Like always, if you've tuned in before, make sure you get your sketchbook. Make sure you're drawing. Make sure you're keeping yourself in what you love because you love it, right? Be good to one another. Go spend some time out in the ocean. Pick some plastic out of the things. Sea turtles do actually get fucked up by straws. It's not a joke. Anyways, this is your host, Ryan Sketch. Thank you for tuning in here on Instagram at sketchbook_audio, as well as on anchor.fm or any other podcast outlet. Till next time, peace out.